you so much, Melanie and John. Ooh. Last week, I was speaking in honor of Valentine's Day, and this is sort of the month of love in February. Are we speaking the language of love? And certainly, music is one of the ways that we do speak the language of love, because we go right beyond the mental, intellectual part of ourselves, and we go into the very heart of our being. Thank you for touching us in such a deep and lovely way. So I'm continuing on this way, this Sunday, in speaking the language of love, part two. Forgiveness is the key. And so to recap a little bit from last week is, what does it really mean to speak the language of love? And what I was talking about is an understanding that the language of true love, not human emotional love or romance, which is wonderful and we can embrace, but that true language of love is the voice of the presence of God, or unconditional love, in the heart of our being. And when we come from that place, when we speak from that centered awareness that God is our source, that God is the truth of who we are, the words and the actions and the way that we show up in the world is entirely different than when we come from just our human egoic presence. And so we're invited into this awareness of what it means to speak the language of the unconditional love of God. And yet, what is it that stops us, that is in the way from recognizing this magnificence of who we are? And what happens is that in everyday life, from that human perspective, we experience frustrations, we experience hurts and angers, we have circumstances where maybe our feelings are hurt, we have circumstances in our world where things are perpetrated that seem even beyond belief. And as we try to make sense of all of these things in our lives that are hurtful, we have judgments that come up around those kinds of circumstances. And when we are in a place of judgment, our hearts are closed. And yet we say, my goodness, you know, how could I not be? How could I not be when someone has hurt me? When someone has done something so grievous to me or to someone out in the world? And how is it then that we can drop into a place of being in a heart of love when we're so angry and when we're so upset and when we've been so deeply hurt? And so the process of shifting ourselves into a place where we can be in the flow of the love of God and speak the language of love is a process of forgiveness. And in the Christian world, we talk about forgiveness all the time. And yet I think we have misunderstood what it means to forgive. Because oftentimes, through our human perception and through this idea that in order to be good enough, to be embraced by God and to be a good Christian, we should forgive someone else. And yet, when we stop to think about it, if we're forgiving someone else, what does that mean? It means we have judged them or a circumstance as being wrong. Now, from the place of justification at the human level, there are many things out there in our world that seem very wrong. And it is understandable from the mental human awareness. But friends, if we are to be about living into a world where we seek the peace of oneness, where we seek a sense of happiness in ourselves, the process of forgiveness is going to change, and we are going to see it differently. In Scripture, from the first book of John, 1:5, it says, "Here is the message we have heard from Christ and now announce to you. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." See, friends, this process of forgiveness, this process of judgment, is a real challenging one from the human intellectual mental awareness. Because we can justify, my gosh, you know, apartheid, that's wrong. Or someone killing someone else, or abuse. And of course, the humanness in us responds to that and finds it grievous. And it's challenging to us. Perhaps you have been abused in your past. Perhaps you have abused someone else mentally, physically. Perhaps you have been in a place where you have acted in a way that later you realize was not from your higher self. And then you carry the shame and the guilt of not being good enough. Friends, this is a heavy subject. It is a deep subject. And yet, that's the thing, unfortunately, that we have carried in our Christianity of forgiving others and not recognizing that forgiveness is not something we do to someone else or for someone else. It's something we do for ourselves. And what forgiveness really is, it's not a process of recognizing the errors of someone else, or even blaming ourselves for the things we have done. It is about letting go of what has been. See, because friends, what we do is we continue to run through our minds over and over again the places where we justify hanging on to anger, hanging on to resentment. But my gosh, you know, that person blamed me. I wasn't even there. Or I'm doing my very best. How could they possibly say I'm not good enough? Or in our world, you know, where we see the hurts and the things that are perpetrated upon others. This idea of forgiveness is a challenging concept. And so what we're invited into an awareness of is the only thing ultimately that heals is love. And yet in order to experience that healing, unconditional love of God, we need to be willing to open the door to allow that to flow. It's already present in us. But what's challenging is that the door is shut when we're still in that place of resentment and anger. And what we do is we continue to carry the baggage of that. And friends, it really truly is not about what anyone else does or what outer circumstances seem like. What it is about is the perceptions that we run with from our own judgments, and the ways that we hang on to those judgments and justify them. Now, I'm inviting us into an awareness that letting go of the circumstances that have happened in our lives, whether we feel shame and guilt because it's something that we did, whether it's about something that someone did to us, ultimately, friends, ultimately, if we hang on to that, who is harmed is us. And we will never be free when we continue to look to the past and continue to run it through our minds. From Genesis 19:26, we all are pretty familiar with the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities that were the cities of sin that Lot and his wife and his sons and daughters lived in. And the angels came and said, you need to leave. In other words, a higher message in that is, it is time to let go. It's time to let go of a lower consciousness that is entrenched, you know, in negativity. And so the angels invited Lot and his family, and they all resisted because, you know, we stay, don't we? We stay in justification, don't we? Oh, but man, look what they did to me. That wasn't fair. That's a horrible atrocity. And forgiveness, again, isn't saying that we condone certain activities and circumstances. Because we don't. However, if we continue to hang on to the hatred and the resentment and the anger, we are like Lot's wife. Because as they fled the city, what did she do? She turned around and looked back. But Lot's wife behind him looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Friends, that's what happens in this process. If we are to be about experiencing the light of love and the healing in our lives and the joy and the prosperity and the abundance, it's about releasing the stranglehold of our judgments, our angers, the things that we hang on to. Man, I'll tell you, people have hurt my feelings. And you know, 2 and 3 and 4 years later, do you ever find this out? You're like walking along and all of a sudden you go, oh my gosh, you know, that whole situation is running through my head again. Or am I the only one who does that? It's like, oh my gosh, you know, someone who in my perception betrayed me. Now, of course, you know, who knows what that really is or means, and who knows what was in their life, who knows what's in my life. But if I continue, like Lot's wife, to look back and pick it back up and gnaw on it, because that's what I do, and I think we all do, it's like, ooh, that's not tasty, you know? And so, my goodness, when we begin to take a look at forgiveness differently, we begin to be released from the weight of those judgments, of those angers, of the activity of the mind. From Romans 7, it says, but now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. The written code refers to the mental, analytical way we deal with life from our mind. But we're released from that old law that held us captive and prisoner. When instead of like Lot's wife, we do not turn back and pick that bone up and gnaw on it some more and go over it and over and over it. But when we begin to let it go. And I'll tell you, friends, that's not an easy thing. When I've been hurt, man, I want to pick that back up and say, but they shouldn't have done that. But I'm a good person. What, you know, all of those things. And there's many circumstances in our own lives, small to large. However, ultimately, they are in the past. There isn't anything we can do that will change what has happened or what has been. And if we continue to carry that, we are just dragging these huge weights that are tied to our ankles and our arms and to our very consciousness, and that keep the door closed to the heart of our being, that will allow the unconditional love of God to move through us, to heal us and bless us. Steve Maraboli, who wrote Life, the Truth, and Being Free, who is a keynote speaker and an author, he says, The truth is, unless you let go, unless you forgive yourself, unless you forgive the situation, unless you realize that that situation is over, you cannot move forward. And C.S. Lewis says, getting over a painful experience is much like crossing the monkey bars. Did any of you do that in school? Yeah. You have to let go at some point to move forward. You can't just keep hanging. And that's what we do. We just sit there and we hang and we hang and we hang, but we have to let it go in order to move forward. Colin Tipping, in this amazing book, Radical Self-Forgiveness. Now, this would take me, you know, a month to go over and go over the ideas behind all of this. But a good place to start is where he says, conventional forgiveness works at the human mental level. This is conventional forgiveness. This whole thing of, well, I forgive you because you wronged me. Which is what? My perception. Again, it doesn't mean whatever was perpetrated is right or wrong. We can't see the bigger picture of it all. And it doesn't mean we condone it. But it says conventional forgiveness works at the human mental level at which judgment and victim consciousness still hold sway. You did it to me. Oh my gosh. And a victim consciousness can also apply when we blame ourselves. When we feel guilty, when we hold shame, you know, that holds us captive. Radical forgiveness, he goes on to say, on the other hand, works at the spiritual level and involves not our mental intelligence or our emotional intelligence, but our spiritual intelligence, friends. Our spiritual intelligence is the heart of God within us. It's that heart of God that we open to through a willingness to practice forgiveness in a new way. And I'd like to, instead of the word forgiveness, to use let it go. Letting go. And it's a process over time, depending on the circumstances in our lives. Because also if we keep going over a story or a circumstance and maybe something was quite grievous to us in our lives, and then we beat ourselves up because we don't let it go. So it's not about that. We want to understand that this is a step at a time and a process, but it is one we engage in by choice, by a willingness to see differently. To understand forgiveness is not about something we do for or to someone else. It's what we do, friends, for ourselves. It's for ourselves. And it is what frees us. Because it opens the heart of our being so that we can connect to the flow of the love of God. That will engage us in seeing circumstances differently and making different choices and resonating in an energy that will draw to us the things that are of a positive nature. Catherine Ponder, many of you know, is a Unity author, and she says, when you hold resentment toward another, you are bound to that person or condition by an emotional link that is stronger than steel. Forgiveness is the only way to dissolve that link and get free. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is letting go. It's releasing what we continue to hang on to. It's releasing that constant mind chatter that has us turning back to what was, reliving it, revoicing it, refeeling it at an emotional level, and it keeps us from healing. Leo Biscaglia, who was an author, he was a professor, he was a motivational speaker, many of you know, he spoke of love. He brought a new awareness in around love, and he says, let go. Why do you cling to pain? There is nothing you can do about the wrongs of yesterday, whether your own the things that you blame yourself for, or the things that we blame or are resentful of other people for. It is not yours to judge. Why hold on to the very thing which keeps you from hope and love? Let go. Why do you cling to the pain? And Oprah Winfrey says, think about any attachments that are depleting your emotional reserves. Consider letting them go. So friends, in this process, of living into a life of fulfillment and in an understanding of what it is to forgive, it's about letting it go. It's about inviting the heart of our being, that living presence of God, to work with us through our practicing an awareness of the mind chatter and going, okay, wait a minute, I'm not going to carry that around anymore. That's like 10 bricks on each shoulder. And I'm going to invite the presence of the love of God that is unconditional to come in and help me in releasing and letting go and seeing differently. Forgiveness is releasing our judgments into the healing light of love. Forgiveness is releasing our judgments into the light of love. So friends, I invite you, if we are to be about speaking the language of love in this month of love and on, that it is ours to do, to be aware of when we are like Lot's wife and we turn back and we pick up that old hurt or that old grievance. When we recognize that our minds are justifying every reason why we should pick that back up, and we do that. And that's when we breathe, we relax into the heart of God, and we let love help us heal that away by choosing to focus on the present, on the now, and making choices in how we will go forward, grounded in the love that then can flow freely. So in closing, I will leave you with this quote by Gerald Jampolsky. Forgiveness is the vehicle for letting go of our fears, condemning judgments, and grievances. Through taking off the tinted glasses that superimpose the fearful past upon what's present, we can begin to know the truth of love. We can begin to know that the truth of love is forever present, and that by perceiving only love, we can experience happiness. Friends, it's our choice. Forgiveness is letting go. Forgiveness is being in the present. It is allowing love to be the light that heals us and allows us truly to speak in our world, to act in our world, to live the language of love.